welcome to another episode of Unearthing Paranormalcy, the podcast where we dig into the paranormal and try to find normalcy in the topic. I'm Amy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Chad.
And I'm Eli.
And this week, we're doing another listener request, and this is crop circles. Great, wow, great, nobody is excited.
Woo! I'm going to run outside naked and take my pants off. I'm going to get abducted and get probed. Let's do it, ladies.
Crop circles are patterns, images, or symbols made by laying down crops within a farming field, particularly within cereal grains such as wheat, barley, corn, rye, oats, and things of that nature.
Ha, ha, ha.
I don't get it.
I'm kidding. If you go back to our episode, Unearthing episode 50, where we discuss Amy's things she says that annoy the shit out of her, that would be one of them.
Wheat and barley?
And things of that nature.
So crop circles can range in size from a few feet to a few hundred feet across. When looking at photos, the spurs or tram lines that span the length of the fields are either 20 feet or 40 feet apart and can be used for a scale. The spurs or tram lines themselves are made by the farmer's tractor.
Hmm. She thinks my tractor's sexy, yeah. It really turns her on. No? Nobody?
No.
Damn.
Not even me.
You're like a hard crowd tonight.
Yeah, we
are. Dave's the only one.
Whoa.
I was like going there, and then Dave cut me off, was like, I'm already there.
You want to go there at a table full of your brothers and sister?
No, no. Sorry. I need to go to church.
Praise Jeebus.
In paranormal circles, the study of crop circle phenomena is called seriology. Seriologists commonly refer to these designs as agroglyphs or landscape art. The word seriology comes from the name of the Roman goddess of vegetation, Ceres.
It's not cereal, since it's all like...
No, I'm a seriologist. I study cereal.
Fruit Loops. Cocoa Puffs.
There's a message in my alphabet. Dave. It says, ooh.
Dave, those are Cheerios.
Oh.
Dave, are you fucking cereal?
So the stalks inside a crop circle are typically bent into what is known as a swirl pattern, and the circles may spin clockwise or counterclockwise. In patterns with several circles, one circle may spin clockwise and another counterclockwise.
And sometimes clockwise.
And if you're in the ghetto, it's clockwise.
So even a single circle may contain two layers of stalks, each spinning in a different direction. And some have even been described as being woven together.
Ooh.
So starting in the 1970s and gaining momentum, crop circle phenomena has been centralized to southern England, particularly in Wiltshire, but has extended to countries all over the world, including the United States, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, Canada, the United Kingdom, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Switzerland, Sweden, Holland, Finland, Norway, Denmark, the Netherlands, Austria, Hungary, Poland, Bulgaria, Bavaria, Belgium, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Slovakia, Slovenia, Serbia, Russia, South Africa, Australia, Indonesia, Japan, India, and New Zealand.
And places of that nature.
And places of that nature. So some that aren't on here are like Portugal, Ireland,
the Irish Greece. Drunk, get out there and
they've
do
never
it.
Been seen in Greece, and of course they've never been seen in any Muslim predominant countries because they are culture dependent and appear in developed and secularized countries, especially countries where people are accepting of New Age beliefs.
Because the aliens know that only these places they'll be accepted and won't be killed.
No, it's because these are the places where people know they can do it and get away with it.
Oh, I see.
Sorry.
Are you the skeptic tonight?
I'm 100% skeptic on this.
Oh, I believe.
Since this is not a visual element, we are mostly going to discuss origin, history, and possible explanations rather than trying to discuss the patterns and shapes. We're not attempting to come up with a definitive answer that explains every crop circle. We are just digging into possibilities. Some crop circles are in fact known to be man-made as part of tongue-in-cheek hoaxes, like one I saw that had an arrow pointing to a farmhouse along with the words, "Attack here."
That'd be something I would do. That's 100% me.
The circles made by Doug Bauer and David Chorley, who divulged in 1991, they were responsible for hundreds of them since 1978, and they shared the creation methods they used. But from 1978 to 1991, there were thousands that were not made by them. It's also worth noting that after 1991, the geometric designs have escalated in scale and complexity, and more were created after this year than in any year before this. Some crop circle formations are commissioned to be made by corporations. These are interesting to me because you can watch how long it actually takes to make these during the daytime with dozens of workers while employing aerial observation. I've seen pictures of these types of crop circles in the shapes of logos, words, people, art, and dicks.
Yeah, I love dicks.
It's a cock circle.
A good one, Chad. I can't do the drum. Thank you.
So what we're going to focus on are the ones that are made under the cover of darkness and under mysterious circumstances. The ones where the crop is laid over instead of cut and bent instead of broken. Where the crop is not damaged, and in most of these cases, the crop continues to grow as normal. Over the years, many theories have tried to account for the existence of crop circles. The most well-known hypotheses are that extraterrestrial beings and their crafts are the architects of them. Wind patterns, aircraft, strong magnetic fields, or pure Earth energy could also be responsible. Secret societies, government agencies, and corporate overlords might be held accountable for the existence of crop circles. They might possibly be made by deities or other celestial or ethereal beings. So let's start with the extraterrestrial theories.
Boo. Go ahead.
That's a shark. Never mind.
Oh, that's Pink Panther. Sorry.
Bum, bum, bum.
So the circles might be the imprint left by landing spacecraft.
They have some goofy-looking spacecraft.
They have some weird-ass landing gear.
Especially the one that's in the shape of a pot leaf. That's the stoner aliens.
Also, are you saying that they landed, then did donuts? Lifted off the ground, moved, then did donuts again?
What this is referring to is it's referring to circular aircraft.
Oh, okay.
That it rotates. As part of its anti-gravitational field,
it rotates in random patterns. Or they know that it does that. So yeah, they're waiting for Glark to get back, and so they just kind of are out in the field bouncing around like boop a doop a doo, making weird circles. Makes sense.
Either that, these aliens are just masterpiece artists. They're like, the Earth is my canvas. La 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 la. Ooh, and we gotta give it a plane, or we gotta give it a tree. I always need more trees. Oh, and this tree needs a buddy. I'm going to give him a tree over here.
You're being a little bit more than you. Oops. Literally, it's a redneck alien going, hold my whatever the hell drink they drink. Watch this.
No, because rednecks aren't artistic.
Yeah, correct, though.
All right. So, yeah. So then they're like, oh, we made a mistake. We'll just turn that into a little bird.
There's no mistakes in art. We just turn it into something pretty.
Just make it a bird.
Bob Ross isn't dead. He's in a spacecraft.
We have solved it.
Sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. So the next one is messages brought from afar for us Earthlings. Some eyewitnesses claim to have seen mysterious lights in the air and strange noises emanating from crop circle sites.
It's just the guys out there with flashlights doing all the work.
Well, I watched a video on the tube of you, and they had a camera set out to watch this field overnight, And at one point, there's like, looks like lightning, like a flash of lightning. And then the next morning, there's a crop circle there. But they did have a camera on it all night
long. So it's Thor calling in, what is it called? The Bifrost. If you guys ever see Thor, when the Bifrost teleports Thor to a world.
Hey.
It,
hey, nerd, shut up.
But when it teleports into the world, it leaves like a little burn design into the ground of the Bifrost.
Well, so you talking about that made me start thinking about the Tasmanian devil. And I was thinking Space Jam. And he just gets beamed down. And, oh, shit, wrong place. But he makes a pretty cool design in the field and then gets beamed back up. No? Eli's giving me this just shut up and let's just keep going.
No.
It's the look we give him all the time. So he's pretty used to it.
The resting bitch face. Yours is prettier than mine.
Call my sister a bitch?
No. She's my sister, too. Well, yeah. Continue.
So let's get into the nature-made theories. Small twist-ups from natural wind currents could cause a crop to circle and lay over.
Tasmanian devil.
Vertices are turbulent air that forms a few hundred meters above ground downwind of hillsides. When these eddies break down, they move closer to the ground, forming donut-shaped eddies that sweep out the circles in the crops. And most circles are found in low-laying areas close to steep hills. And this helps explain the wind theory of their creation.
So, I know we're probably not at this point yet, Dave, but there was multiple videos that I watched that they were talking about how it was like the middle of the, like there was like one video particularly taken in the middle of the day where there was a small orb coming from an area, and it wasn't a glare like how you would see a glare come off of a camera or whatever. It wasn't a glare of that sign. It was literally a orb that he followed through multiple terrains. Like, how are we trying to explain that as well? Like,
well, going with nature right now.
Oh, my bad.
No, that is part of a nature explanation. George Tennis Meaden, a former professor of physics, has a theory of plasma vortex phenomena, which he defines as a spinning mass of air which has accumulated a significant fraction of electrically charged matter. According to Meaden, the effect is similar to that of ball lightning, but larger and longer lasting.
So that kind of would explain the light phenomenons that go along with it.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, almost every single one that has any kind of eyewitness to it, they see a flash of light or some orb of light or something. There's always some type of light anomaly that comes along before the crop circle.
One thing I've also heard of is, or someone tried to explain it, was like sometimes there's a... enough of like a grouping of molecules, like water molecules or moisture, that whenever the sun hits it, that's kind of what you see float as well. Like, yeah. It's not a perfect shape, but you're also like hundreds of yards away looking at this thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I've heard of that one too.
Well, I'm thinking about the wind vortices and being in the land of tornadoes. When we do have a strong tornado come through, it completely rips the grass out of the ground. And just flings mud and dirt. But we have other tornadoes that aren't as strong. But they also, they go in a line. They don't dance around and make patterns.
That's the only thing that takes me away from the nature aspect, or at least like the wind vortices aspect, is these shapes are in such geometrical shapes
and patterns.
Designs that... Unless, you know, the wind is a geometry professor, I'm not sure they're able to make it. But.
No, I think a lot of the intricate ones, because when you look at the intricate ones, there's maybe only 50 of them. Most of them are just in circles, and there are thousands of them that are just a little circle in a field, you know? Now, I don't think any of these nature, I don't think any one theory explains every single one of them.
Kind of like the black cats, where we had a bunch of different theories that could explain all of the different cases.
My theory explains all of them.
Your Pumgwar?
No, people. people making all the crop circles.
Oh, well, it doesn't though, because the time it takes to do some of the really intricate, some of them.
It's not true. There's a video that it. It's Dave and Doug, who are the ones who started doing crop circles in England back in 76. When they actually came out and talked about it, they took film crew out there. It took them like 4 hours to do a pretty intricate crop circle.
Yeah.
Because you just have to have a mathematical mind and just know like how they're doing it is they'll put a post as like the center of this, you know, the circle. And then they have a little string attached to it, and they use that to help keep them in line. And all they're doing is literally have a rope with a 2x4, and they're just going through stepping and pushing. Yeah. It's not like they're going through and bending each stock by itself. So, I mean, it doesn't take that long.
Now, aren't the majority of theirs broken, though?
Yes. Most of their stocks are broken, and they die. And that's the thing with most of the man-made ones, is that... That's one of the reasons that they can tell the different, or they say they can tell the difference between man-made and paranormal crop circles is by the stalks. And in the paranormal ones, the stalks aren't broken. They're just bent.
There's also the finding of particular metal elements there as well, particularly on the outside of the circles.
And high EMFs in the circles.
And also, that also brought into the whole idea of Chad's theory about meteor, or the... alien implants and whatnot, and the metals that you find.
Yeah.
That's also one of those things that was kind of found me weird.
Yeah, electromagnetic fields can cause water to heat, thus expanding the nodes of the crop and cause it to fall over without breaking. Scientists have measured strong magnetic fields within some crop circles, and visitors have claimed to feel tingling sensations when in or around circles. There's also reports of battery-powered equipment failure and magnetic compass failure within crop circle sites.
So basically, giant microwaves that go on over the fields?
Yeah, just electromagnetic fields. That's really a lot of the above-ground ones. I got a lot of below-ground ones.
Okay.
So there's a fungus that attacks the crops and causes their stems to bend over. Sorry, I'm all over the place. Shallow underground pockets of water that heat up with geothermal temperatures, releasing hot steam underground, which causes crops to fall over without breaking. The natural earth energy fields and meridians that we call ley lines.
That's interesting because a lot of the crop circles in like Great Britain happen near and around Stonehenge.
Yeah, in Wiltshire.
And Stonehenge is on a ley line.
It's on a bunch of intersecting ley lines.
That is kind of interesting there.
Lightning strikes bend plants in patterns because of microwave emissions. And this has been studied by Russian scientists to explain a lot of their crop circles that happen in Russia.
I could see that there are some crop circles I could see it being like lightning.
Yeah.
Because some of them aren't just perfect geometrical shapes, which you could explain as lightning hitting it or something.
Yeah. And I questioned, well, what about fires and like scorch marks and things like that? But Dave pointed out that most of the time when the crop circles happen, they happen while the crops are green. And it's really hard to get a green field to burn because the plants themselves have so much moisture.
Yeah.
Now, if it were to happen in a dry field, then of course you'd have a wildfire, which is what happens around here all the time in the fall and the spring or the summer. But... That was my big thing. I was with lightning. I was like, well, what about scorch marks? Because I've seen trees and stuff that have been hit by lightning, and there's usually like black scorch marks around the tree. But trees are also a little drier on the outside. Yeah. So it made sense.
More and more scientists are getting on board with the theory that the Earth itself is a living organism. Is the Earth showing signs of consciousness and attempting to communicate with its inhabitants?
That's freaking deep.
Earth is an alien.
Or is the Earth just going down to the barbershop and getting
like a cool fade going on every now and again? You know, once or twice a year, you know, just between the months of August and November, you know, when he's wanting to look fly, goes down and gets a nice trim.
No, he's just going down there to trim up his pubes, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So we eat his pubes? Is that what? Our cereal is made of Earth's pubes.
Yeah.
Yummy.
I mean, them our meat is just made off of his fleas.
True. We are his fleas.
Y'all got any more nature theories?
Well, I have one that I kind of discovered while doing a little bit of research, and it was sound waves, natural sound waves.
Yeah, I saw this one too.
And I'm going to just kind of make it as simple as possible. Think back, if you're old enough to remember Windows Media Player, when it would have the screen that had all the dancing lights and things like that. When the music would play, the lights would dance around to it. Basically, sound does that. There was a scientist who put sand on a metal tray and then
put it on top of a speaker.
No, he used a violin stick, what are they called? Bow. And would play on notes and things, and then the sand would jump into geometric patterns. Very similar to that of the crop circles.
Well, if you watch, like, the Blue Man Group does it with the paint on their drums and stuff like that, as you see how it splatters. It actually, there's the same scientist, he has a video on YouTube, and it actually will make perfect geometric shapes while doing this.
And it's actually got a term for it. It's called somatics, and it's just a vibrational phenomenon that causes these geometric patterns to appear. And most of the geometric patterns that appear, you also find in nature, on shells of, you know, shellfish, on
seashells and stuff like that.
On rocks, on plants and flowers. They're actually natural patterns that do appear in nature that these sound waves are creating.
Yeah.
And thinking about that, I was thinking about the, remember the video or the sound clip that the Russians got from underground?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. It sounds like the front, like hell.
Yeah, like it sounds like a bunch of
screaming. Dug that deep hole and then they put an audio recording device down in it and it just sounds like screaming and all that stuff. Okay.
And I'm thinking,
I can't remember what the pit's called.
But if these sounds are coming from the earth, maybe that sometimes they do radiate out to
just
the surface.
The vibration
radiates through the surface. Or maybe there's little explosions going on in the molten layer of the earth that we don't hear. It's not audible to us, but the vibrations from the sound of it make the crop circles.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
I could definitely see that, especially with a thing that we don't hear it, because our range of hearing is minute compared to the actual spectrum of sound.
Yeah. Once I read this one and I did a little bit more research on the sound, I feel like it's more of an explanation than a lot of the other.
The only thing I have with this one, this is just my thing, is I don't believe they're aliens. I feel like it's nature made or man made when it comes to most crop circles. But the only thing I would think is, for me, I would think the vibration wouldn't cause them to bend over like they do. I feel like it would cause breaking or like just a unrooting.
Yeah.
Like they would die and wilt and kind of that shape. But,
well, let me take your theory that it's coming from the earth and working out and flip that and say that it's coming from the sun.
Yeah.
And pushing down.
Some kind of a sunburst or something like that.
Like a sound vibration coming from explosions from the sun.
Yeah. Or even something that's crossing over overhead. Because, I mean, we have meteors and asteroids and stuff that pass by us constantly. Could be sounds from those. There are sounds from deep space that are like recordings from deep space that have weird sounds. I mean, who knows if those sounds don't travel all the way to Earth.
Now, this is kind of off topic, but not really. Crop circles also form in sand.
Yeah.
And that could very well go along with that vibration of sound wave theory.
Yeah. Crop circles happen a lot more frequently than we notice. Because think about this. If they're happening in fields and sand, these are going to be easier places for them to appear. But...
Well, most crop circles are only noticed by aerial craft at first and then brought down to the attention of people on the ground. So,
well, you know, Dave was talking about it happens in cereal crops. Well, that's because that's where you notice it. It could very well be happening in a lettuce field. You just don't see it because all the lettuce is, you know, no higher than ankle height and nothing. I mean, you don't see anything depressed. You just... It's just there.
Well, I mean, it's really common, like, in Oklahoma to be walking through, like, a pasture, and then you just notice divots or so in the ground that just weren't, you know, just as the ground's sinking and stuff like that. That could very easily be what's causing it, you know?
Yeah.
And then...
They also happen in tobacco fields.
Tobacco fields?
And, I mean, there's other crops that happen, and the cereal ones are the most common, so... Yeah. And that's where the name comes from.
You just don't ever hear about it hitting the pumpkin patches. And it very well could be hitting the pumpkin patches. We just don't see it. Because they're ground crops. You know?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, besides the current of the ocean, you could probably find things underground, similar patterns
and
stuff.
Well, there are similar patterns underwater that are caused by currents.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also those little, they look like little medallions, like Indian medallions and stuff. But they're caused by pufferfish.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I've seen those.
Those
videos
are really cool looking. Like, they make their nests and they kick up the sand and all that stuff. Continue. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of natural theories to it. So... I kind of agree with Chad in the fact that I do feel that most of them are going to be man-made or natural occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
But even with... Okay, so this is kind of where I'm at. So if you can say that most of them and are... I agree. Some people have more than enough time on their hands to go out and be like, let's cause this place to be a spectacle of, you know, of intrigueness and just whatnot, like, I, you know, let's spook out people, blah blah blah. At the same time, like, you know, we've already explained the fact that, you know, nature could have a lot to do with certain electromagnetic fields that you would find and whatnot, but how do you explain the minerals on the outside of those crop circles? Like, how do we explain that part of it?
The metals and stuff.
Because, like, I want to say, as much as, like, Chad wants to say, that all of it's fake.
Yeah.
You know? But, like,
those metals and stuff, if it's something that's coming from the sky and coming from space, I mean, if it even...
That would work with his theory.
That would work. Like, the sun, that's where gold comes from, is stardust, basically. It's from...
Do you remember me talking about neutrinos?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those come from the sun.
Yeah. Well, and they actually will look at the crystalline formations in the stalks of the crop after a crop circle, and they do notice that the crystalline formations have spread out in the stalks where they bend. So, like, it's affecting the molecular structure of the stalk itself. So, and they said that what would cause that would be extreme heat. Well, with motion and friction comes heat. So whether it be from a microwave burst or from sound or anything like that, that's going to cause friction and cause heat.
Or electromagnetic fields or even electrostatic fields.
Yeah.
Can cause energy.
Yeah.
I mean, which can produce heat.
Also, anything I've ever heard about spaceships, like, not... let me rephrase that. Anything I've ever heard about UFO sightings and whatnot, like, especially the ones that are, like, you know, people are driving down the highway and they look up and they can't vividly see the light in front of them, but there's a light above them,
yeah,
right? And then also where You have the was it Area 51 of like New England or whatever, where there's a certain situation of someone actually coming in contact with it and touching it. There was no heat.
Yeah.
So I doubt that it's spinning around fast enough to where it's like, let's, you know what I mean? Like, then you have the friction in the whatever, but like, I doubt that it's, if it's a spaceship, I doubt that it's going to come down here, sit in a crop, spin around, you know, fast enough to where it could cause that much heat.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but then, I mean, this kind of goes against my theory, but you also go into, there are the cases in, I think we talked about it in one of our episodes, where maybe we haven't done an episode on it yet, but basically the people had the light come above them, the spacecraft come and land, like hover in front of them, and then they all just received third degree burns from the radiation from the craft. So we've got radiation too, but have they ever taken a Geiger Geiger counter into a crop circle and read the radiation?
I don't know. I didn't even think of radiation.
Because radiation would also produce heat.
Yeah. But yeah. Radiation usually causes necrosis.
Yeah. I was wondering, maybe there's like uranium pockets underneath these crop circles or something like that.
Well. Could very well be in like the Russian ones. But at the same time, that kind of stuff, it would happen year after year in the same place.
True. Well, and that, I mean, that would also be account for the water pockets underground too.
Yeah.
You would think that that would then cause it to happen over and over in the same spots.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the wind, not necessarily if the water...
If it flows somehow, if it's some kind of a flowing system.
Yeah. Or if it doesn't steam up every year like that. How about everybody's pretty much had a dog. Before a dog lays down, it turns circles.
Yeah, it is.
All animals do that. And it's a way to bed down the grass they're going to lay in. And they all spin in one direction, either clockwise or counterclockwise. So could crop circles just be animals that are swirling the crops and then bedding down?
Those are some talented animals. And some large animals.
But, I mean, not necessarily.
Like a narwhal in the field.
Some crop circles are only a few feet across.
If they're a few feet across, I would say, yeah, animal.
No, I'm not trying to say that the 50 feet across one is Clifford the dog out there doing it, you know. I mean, again, I'm not trying to say every single one is caused by one thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think that, yeah, there are, I mean, we already know there are multiple causes because there are people who do, we know that people do them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no, well, maybe it's people. I mean, we know people are doing them.
I guess really my question is, do cows spin around before they, or horses, do they do the spin before they lay down?
Can I call a friend?
Yeah, let's phone a friend. I don't know. Do cows spin? Mom's got cows, but I don't think she's ever seen them lay down. And I've never seen her horse lay down, so I couldn't tell you.
Which I guess if either of these animals was in a crop field, it would...
Yeah, I mean,
it would probably eat a bunch of stuff.
I say farmers would be really pissed off if there were animals that were.
Well, that's the only thing I can. The only animal I can think of actually being in a cornfield or a wheat field is a cow. Like that's I know it's kind of weird because like cows don't go to wheat and cornfields, but as far as like the
well,
ideal,
you would also think that there'd be munched off areas in
there
the
would,
circle.
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking more predatory animals like wild dogs or big cats.
Maybe Bigfoot does it.
Holy shit.
Maybe Bigfoot is the reason for crop circles. Did we just like completely just solve the mystery right there and there? It's either humans
I feel
or
like
Bigfoot.
I feel like the word Bigfoot and solve the mystery has come out of our mouths more time than anything. Like, I was surprised it didn't come out with Madame Blavatsky. Holy shit. Madame Blavatsky was a Bigfoot. We've solved it. She's still around us.
Aleister Crowley will be, though. No, yeah, our answers are usually Bigfoot or alien. Like, that's that's our always like our determined factor. It was aliens. It was Bigfoot. It was an alien Bigfoot. Well, these search circles also... meet some of the requirements for like ancient geometry. and sacred geometry. And so maybe there is something to it phenomenally, like nature, that people back when people weren't, you know, holding the knowledge in their hand and they were always searching knowledge, these things were happening then, and they wrote it down and studied it as the sacred geometry, whereas we just go, oh, it's a pretty design.
Right. So I guess that kind of pulls me to the next thing, the deity-made theories, where it's messages from ancient local Celtic gods of the land, maybe like the Dagda, Amathan, Isis, Cecilus, the Horn God, or their Roman equivalents, such as Terra, Ceres, or any other deity. You know, there's Gaia, there's Indian divas, there's Native American spirits, there's...
So Bridget's doing it?
Yeah, there's Bridget, yeah.
Bridget and Gaia, they're playing tops, and they're just spinning them on the cornfields.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, like I said, it happens in places where New Age beliefs are more acceptable, and where New Age beliefs are more acceptable, people worship the ancient gods.
True. The ancient gobs. The ancient gobs are far more important than the New Age gobs.
Or even something like fairies or elementals might make them.
Yeah, but I would think that if it's fairies or elementals, you'd be having a whole lot more of them in Ireland. Because Ireland's kind of the birthplace for fairies and elementals.
Yeah. I do got a fun fact about that.
Oh, yeah?
In Ireland, several buried fairy cairns, often called fairy forts, were found by aerial observation of crop circles. These are commonly called fairy rings. I mean, not really like the crop circles we're talking about. So I guess, in other words, the stones of the foundations of ancient buried sites cause the crop to grow weak above them, or not grow at all, and during droughts, they become significantly seen from above.
Okay, so fairy rings happen in Ireland, but crop circles don't.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if we go into the fairy aspect of it, I would expect to see far more. If it was fairies creating crop circles, I would expect to see far more crop circles in Ireland.
Yeah. You know, there, I mean, there is quite a few in Wales, though.
Yeah.
And Scotland.
But not in Ireland. Or is Ireland sacred to the fairies, and they just go out and make their mischief elsewhere?
Or they just, their media doesn't report it.
Yeah. Well, and that's a big thing in the United States. Because I honestly, what the movie Signs came out in around 2000, 2002-ish, and there was a lot of information, or a lot of stories on crop circles leading up to that and around that time. But then we don't ever hear about crop circles anymore. I really forgot that they even existed, really, until we started doing this research. And then I realized that they still happen every year. I mean, they have a crop circle season, and they're still happening every year. Our media just doesn't cover them at all. So
aerial reconnaissance was conducted over Ireland and the United Kingdom after World War II throughout the 50s and 60s in an effort to find buried archaeological sites, like I was discussing. But no crop circles like we are discussing in this episode were ever reported by pilots prior to the late 70s.
Well, with crop circles weren't a phenomenon and literally until... I think his BBC was the first one to report on it, was when Doug and Dave came out talking about they were the ones doing it in England.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became this huge craze, which if you talk to them, like they had an interview with them, they said they think they did it. It was fun. Like what it all started with a story Dave had heard when living in Australia about some people doing this design in a cornfield or crop field, and it, you know, confused everybody. So after a few drinks, they were like, let's go do this. There's a field across the street. So they went out there and started doing it. And then they did it every week for a couple of years. And then finally in 86, was when they finally came out in public about it. And then, but since they started doing it, is when the phenomenon crazy skyrocketed.
Well, there were a lot around 99 and around the turn of the century. In fact, they got like, we were watching a documentary on it, and it was all about the year 99 and the crop circle season of 99. And the circle started out very just plain, and they like crescendoed up into like really elaborate things until the end of 2000 or until the year 2000. It was like a buildup of crop circles, and then they had some really intricate ones that were actually woven, you know, where this batch of crop lays one way and the other one lays over the top of it and so on and so forth.
So I came up with some man-made theories. I mean, outside of just hoaxing. They happen as a byproduct of something man-made or something man-caused, such as bombs that exploded during World War II or in other conflicts around the world.
Yeah, which would also kind of make that sound, well, not really, never mind.
What sound?
I'd say the sound wave theory.
Oh, no, no, I'm talking about stuff that's buried in the ground.
In the ground, yeah. That's what I figured after I said that.
Minerals and metals and things. We started genetically modifying crops in the 80s and 90s. So maybe it's something to do with the new molecular structure of these genetically modified crops.
Yeah.
And how they interact with certain things in the environment.
Some kind of like a chemical reaction.
Yeah.
Within the stock of it.
How about secret societies which place the crop circles manually under the cover of night, like freelance artists, engineers, or ritual magic practitioners?
I didn't ever think about the magic practitioners, but I always look at it as, majority of the times I look at crop circles, I look at it as it's an artist's work that he's gone out and done.
Kind of like a graffiti artist. Yeah, you know, they
a lot of documentaries and stuff I watch, like newer documentaries, put like crop circle work with, what's that famous?
Binksy?
Yeah, Binksy.
Yeah,
the graffiti artists and stuff, like they would put the work in the same, huh?
Banksy,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
they would put it in the same category as it, someone going doing damage to an extent, but doing it in an artistic way.
And at the same time, Banksy can pull off a piece of artwork that in what would take somebody else 10 times the amount of time to do. Because of just his experience.
Yeah.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And one thing with the time period, I also think a lot has to do with computers. I think that once the computer started getting involved and the computer could do the math equations and the computer could draw it out for you, and all you had to do was study it and then recreate what was put on there, they started getting more elaborate. Because, I mean, yeah, you could do a basic circle, no problem. You could probably even do a little bit of extra tiddly dumps over here. But when the computer started generating these images for you to actually recreate, then they became more prevalent and they got way more intricate.
Well, I mean, nowadays, I mean, some of these you can tell are hoax because they are, you know, alien. Like, I mean, the crop circles in the shape of an alien or shape of a pot leaf. Or my favorite one is the alien smoking a joint. Like, things like that. They did the Nikes, they did a foot. And then wrote Nike in it in the crop circle. Like, it's been done for advertising and just art itself. So, I mean, if you can do all these odd, like, non-geometrical shapes, that would actually take, I think, more work than doing a geometrical shape because you have it spaced out. You know what you want. You know the dimensions you want. You just have your, you know, your tape measure and rope and whatever machine you're using to do it.
No.
I just picture, you know, a couple of nerds sitting in their basement with their Apple II, you know, just plugging in their formulas and letting this newfangled computer figure out it for them, and then they go out and they just stomp it into the crops.
Now, one of my things when it comes to the secret society theory is that the symbols are diverse. You know, they're not just Masonic, Hermetic, Thelemic, Egyptian, Mayan, Celtic, or various other culture-based symbols. They're a mix of all. And sometimes many influences within the same design.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of pentacles involved. Like, I didn't realize how many five-point stars are involved in it. Yeah. And most of them, the five-point star is circled like a pentacle. And
yeah, that's what got me onto the maybe it's ritual magic practitioners. Yeah.
I was actually, that one kind of shocked me. I never had looked at them close enough to see them, because a lot of times the star, I mean, the star is also part of the sacred geometry. So it could just be a coincidence that it's in there.
No, I know I've seen ones that are the symbol of Thelema.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Horus, the all-seeing eye. That one's real popular with almost every secret society. Like the Illuminati and the Masons.
I see you.
So this just pops in my head. We always wonder how these ancient civilizations made these structures. Like you have the Nazca lines and the rock formations and stuff in Egypt and pyramids. What if going back to kind of like nature's causing the shapes and stuff, and then what if these ancient civilizations like the Nazca lines, which are just a bunch of rocks and stuff put in patterns and stuff like that, what if these were natural lines that, you know, formation that showed up, and then they put rocks in these formations because they thought it was some kind of, you know,
was the God speaking to them
or something?
That's an interesting theory.
Because people wonder how they were able to do it in such geometrical shapes and stuff like that, and perfect lines and stuff. And what if, like, same with crop circles, how they come out geometrical lines and shapes? And what if they were just putting rocks in the place of the divots, you know, the compressions they found in the ground?
That even goes back to Stonehenge. Since Stonehenge is so close to where all these crop circles are, Stonehenge is just stones in a circle. Very well could have been that a crop circle happened there, and they decided that this is a sacred place. Look what has happened. And then they placed their altars there.
Wiltshire is full of standing stones.
Oh, yeah. And they got what? There's Stonehenge, there's Woodhenge. I mean, all these places, they kept having these crop circles appear, and then they kept marking them as sacred sites. Okay. I mean, I would assume that would actually be a pretty common thing to happen.
Because, I mean, it's the same thing as, like, I know, I mean, we don't do it the same way, but, you know, you're out working on your yard trying to make your yard nice and level and everything, and there's big divot shows up. You go and put a rock or a stick or something there to mark it so you know to come back and do something later and not think about it.
I don't. I leave it alone, and then I trip in the hole, and I'm like, damn it, I knew that hole was there.
But, I don't know, it just kind of popped in my head for a second. I was like, that's kind of interesting. I just say, I said the alien smoking a joint was probably my favorite one. No, there's actually this really cool one that was in a documentary that I saw on YouTube. It might have been a National Geographic one, actually, too. But this crappie is what they call themselves, or seriologists.
Yes, the crappies.
But it's this crop circle, and it's got this big arrow in the middle of it, and he's doing this presentation. He's like, and where does it point? And he, you know, uses a map, like almost like a GPS, or not GPS, but like a satellite image, scrolls up with a perfect line going straight, and it points to another crop circle, and then it kind of has like a little arrow shape, so they follow that one. And then the first day he saw it and looked for it, there was nothing there. The next day there was one directly where it was pointing, and that third one was actually the picture from Alice in Wonderland, the book, of the multiple doorways, the hallway, the multiple doors all the way down, like a different world kind of thing. And he's crappies tend to believe that it's aliens doing it, and he was saying it was aliens telling us, we work this way, and we'll learn how to travel to different dimensions and different worlds and stuff. I thought it was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
But, I mean, it was an exact replica, almost, of the Alice in Wonderland picture.
My favorite one is the one that has it actually has an image of an alien. But then it also has a CD-type thing next to it that has a binary code in it. And they decoded the binary code, and it talks about, don't trust those who have false promises and...
Don't trust the president?
Yeah, yeah, you know, things like that. It's pretty cool.
I think what you're talking about is... there's a molecular biologist named Horace Drew who was working on the assumptions that the designs are intended as messages. And he believes he's decoded crop circle symbols and they contain messages such as believe there is good out there. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. And we oppose deception. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, maybe. The Pleiades are warning us of the reptilians.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Pleiadiacs, Pleiadiacs. Oh, we are Pleiadiacs.
So could it just be the government black ops operating as part of the ongoing plausible deniability campaign of extraterrestrials?
Yes.
I could very well see our government paying people to go out and make these crop circles to make people, oh, there's aliens.
Like, oh, we need a distraction. Jim, Bob, and Joe, you need to go out there and make them one of them alien circles in the crops so that they'll quit looking at what the president's tweeting. Go now!
Another thing I thought of was the testing of experimental or classified technology. So, like, the circles might be the result of top secret military experiments that project a beam of high intensity microwaves from a distance with enough energy to vaporize the water in a plant, causing it to collapse without breaking.
Or the sonic weapons that they use on our people in Cuba.
The sound weapons?
Mm-hmm. I'm still stuck on the sound wave thing. So, yep, it's secret sonic sound wave.
And that's known boomers. Technology.
Yeah. And that's they started probably working on that in the 80s. I know they've perfected it to this point. Now they're just trying to amplify it up. And actually, they just thought, oh, these make really cool designs. Let's just go shoot them in fields.
What if it's a government satellite using sound wave technology? And kinda it like, kind of like a laser printer, you know, it and draws your designs.
Ah,
that's
yeah.
what they're doing. They're testing it out. And then they can use it on, you know, warring countries and do stuff like that.
Or what if it's just, it's they shot the laser and it missed its shot, it missed its spot and it landed in the field?
Or yeah. someone who's not paying attention, who's supposed to be in charge of the laser, and he thinks he's drawing on paint, and instead he's actually shooting the laser onto the ground. I mean, I think it'd be a government satellite.
Some kind of government
weapon. Or weaponized satellite used to cause some kind of
I wouldn't nuclear put a single like that, thing past our government or our, any government for that matter.
We were developing the Star Wars
program
under Ronald Reagan, which was essentially it was like a laser beam in the sky that could.
And that would have been in the mid 80s.
Would that have used microwaves?
Possibly.
Or would it just use
microwaves?
Lasers?
Would have been a new technology at that time.
I think it would have used stuff that we wouldn't know about.
It would be a newer technology.
I feel like our government's technology is, you know, a couple years ahead of what we have now. So, but in the late 70s, early 80s,
when did the microwave become like common household product? Let me check that out.
70s.
Yeah, the microwave.
I mean, at that point, if say it was the 70s, by late 70s, early 80s, they probably could have weaponized it. And,
yeah.
You know, government conspiracies, fun stuff. 1967
is when the microwave oven reached homes. Man, they cost about $500 a piece, which would have been about $3,200 today. I wouldn't have wanted a microwave.
But it's a new cool thing.
Wait, yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean that they didn't use that technology that we had and created weapons.
No, yeah, if they can create a weapon out of something, they will.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like coming up with conspiracy theories, and they're just popping out of my head as we're going. So
I'm back onto the sound, but then I also like the Pleiadians the Pleiadian idea too.
Because Pleiadians fit into everything.
Because the Pleiadians
they are everything.
Are our gods. Yes, they are. We love Pleiadians. We are the Pleiadiacs.
No. That's not the theme song.
That's not one of our hymns?
No.
We don't sing that at church on Tuesday?
We don't have church.
Oh. shit, what am I doing?
That's called Christianity.
All right, also, the Mormons called and told me to tell you to stop doing that. Never mind. Obviously, it's a joke that flew over everybody's head.
We're not Mormon.
No. You've been going. Where the fuck have I been going then? And never mind. Fuck it.
Could it be something to do with magnets? He knows what I'm talking about.
We go back to the Mormon thing?
He brought it up.
Mormons are magnetic? What?
No, it's this old thing that happened.
You motherfucker.
Don't tell your secrets.
Done, Dave.
So there was this troll campaign that happened years and years ago where people would go on to the Mormons' website, innocent, and they would just ask them, how do magnets work? And this went on for years, right? And really, it was just the back and forth responses you'd get from them. Because, I mean, it's trolling operations.
Also, the reason why most people came out to ask those questions as well is because the theory of Joseph Smith finding both these plates in the ground and also these magical stones as well. He was like, they used some sort of magnetic holy power to read these plates, and it was the only way that he could read the plates. Nobody else could like cipher these plates except Joseph Smith.
With magnets.
With these magnet stones. And that's the reason why it's fucking hilarious. But also, wow.
All right, so let's get back onto the two crop circles. What other theories do you have?
The collective minds of humanity, through a proposed quantum field, a sort of global psychic power that manifests itself in wheat and other crops.
So like an artistic tulpa?
Yeah, like a byproduct of the collective consciousness that Carl Jung spoke of.
I mean, it would kind of explain why it happens more in England and stuff like that, where people are still on about it and less around the United States or where we're at, because we don't ever think about it anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was more popular when Signs came out, because there's this movie coming out talking about them, so we're all thinking about them. And then when the movie's over and no one's talking about it anymore, they disappear.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I'm starting to think every episode we do can be explained by tulpas.
Most what if you're a tulpa? I am.
What if you're a tulpa?
Well, more and more particle physicists are getting on the fact or latching onto the theory that we hallucinate our own reality.
Yeah.
That nothing is real. That it's all just made by our brain.
No wonder my world's so fucked.
We're going to have to change our podcast to Unearthing Tulpas.
Yeah.
So that's why it's such a popular theory, because, yeah, it's in essentially everything.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes
Now, to go sense. Back hundreds of years, that's what the Indians of India, the Hindus, that's what they've believed for millennia.
Yeah. Well, one of the thoughts that I had when looking at crop circles, too, was what if, because Stranger Things is just re-released, and we were talking about, or released the new season, and we were talking about Stranger Things, and you know how Eleven can bend things and move things and all that stuff. What if there's just a bunch of people out there that they get bored and they just go out and they just, whoa, and will it?
Yeah. Magical practitioners.
Yeah.
So every time we talk, I think about crop circles, this is honestly what I think about, because of like someone like me who likes when they're sitting there with a piece of paper and wasting time, they doodle something. And what if it's someone draw like doodling, you know, this design, and subconsciously somehow it's causing it to happen, you know, halfway across the world in a field.
Heroes. Does everyone remember watching that show?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, there's that person that was able to do that as well.
What if it's I like the doodle idea.
And every time I think of crop circles, because I draw almost, well, not as perfect geometrical designs is what they are. But what if it goes I draw like things kind of like that, and then
the simulation theory.
So what you're kind of describing is the Kabbalistic belief that we all come from the deity, right? We all come from the deity, and essentially we're all in his mind. And we go through every evolutionary step in order to return back to the source, enlightened by our journey.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you're talking about?
I was thinking more like the Sims game, where somebody's playing, clicking and, you know, telling us to go pee and whatnot. But then they're out in the fields, they get bored, and they start doodling out in the fields.
Like a game of Sims?
The Sims?
Sims.
Have you ever played The Sims?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like,
why she said, like the game Sims.
Like a simulation type world where we are actually being controlled by our deity.
Mm-hmm.
We will never achieve deityness because we are literally just a simulation created by a deity.
Not to say I'll be pissed off if I get just walled around all of a sudden.
I gotta pee.
I think there's little evidence of that.
But I mean, that is actually a theory that is out there. The simulation theory that we are all living in a simulation.
Yeah.
And the glitches, the
I think really where it comes down to is whether that simulation is technological or if it's like ethereal.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, if it is a simulation, what couldn't be the whoever is controlling the simulation isn't randomly just doing doodles out in the middle of the field.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just as plausible as an alien. Yeah. Right?
I mean, yeah, like just the deities make them, or the earth itself makes them, or the universe just makes them.
Yeah, I mean, it's all plausible.
Now I'm just seriously thinking of the bit in Men in Black. Or they open up the freaking locker and it's like a larger world.
Oh, yeah.
And they're playing freaking marbles with the freaking galaxies. God. I'm not even stoned. Jesus.
You don't have to be stoned to have Think Broad in our podcast.
It helps, though.
Yeah, it does.
Wait, you guys are... what the hell?
No one offered me.
Is that what's in those M&Ms? God damn it.
You wanted to bring gummies.
you wanted Cabbage Patch Sour Patch Kids.
All I'm saying is hallucinogenics have been used for a long time to expand the mind, and marijuana is a light form of hallucinogen.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not sharing next week.
Not that I'm saying I'm on it or anything, just...
It's been quite a few years since I've been stoned, so.
I'm not on it either.
But it is the kind of thought you get when you're like that, except when you're under the influence, you can't expand on those thoughts. And then by the time you're off of it, you forgot you even had the thought. That's why I prefer a life of sobriety. So that way I can retain those deep thoughts and expand on them.
It's kind of hard, though, because, like, when I used to dabble in smoking pot when I was younger. But, like, it's really hard because, like, I feel like I'm in... This is really stupid to say, but I think about stuff on a deeper, like, a deeper notion, and I'm more focused, and I feel almost more intelligent when I'm not overly... baked. But... quaintly baked, you know, that point to where, like, if I do another hit, I'm gone, you know.
Yeah,
that point right there, I'm it's but
crop circles.
But the problem is that, yeah, crop circles.
I wonder if there are crop circles in marijuana fields.
No, you know why? Because they're all in greenhouses. Well, they're supposed to be
in Australia. There was a series of crop circles inside of an opium field. And what they determined it to be was some wallabies got in there and they ate a bunch of the opium. This is the opiums that they were growing to turn into pharmaceutical medicine. And pretty much what they did was they ate a bunch of them. They got super high and just ran in circles and put crop circles all throughout the field.
Honestly, though, if you ever watch... it's some Roots thing. They smoke. I had, I can't remember, some kind of like hallucinogenic in aerosol form onto a spider and watch them make their web. And it makes almost the exact designs that are on like crop circles and stuff. Like, it's trippy. Mm-hmm. Like, it.
So, crop circles are designed by
stoners.
Stoners?
So, hey, man, let's go outside and find another crop circle. Just literally, like, what it is, there, bro.
Is people are getting stoned walking out into a cornfield, getting lost, and just they keep walking in circles, and change the turn. Like, oh, we've done this like 12 times, man, let's go this direction. And that makes the perfect line to the next one, and then they walk in circles again.
Everybody has intuition, and when you're high and stuff, you're more likely to follow that intuition. Because you think it's actually your conscious brain being like, this is a good idea. So that does make a lot of sense. You're like, no, I got to turn left right here. But I got to walk right. For 1, 2, 3. Okay, now turn right.
Well, they think they're going to attack, so they're running in the zigzag pattern.
Now what I was thinking about was marching bands. And marching bands, they maneuver across the field in a pattern. And then move back in a pattern and move back in a pattern. Could that be employed to make crop circles with a mass group of people?
This is actually a topic that I know quite a bit about, possibly. But in the sense of the timing. Because in marching band, it's all about timing and knowing the size of a step.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying, though. If someone, yeah. If it was yeah. a group of people who so you could, used to be in marching
you,
band.
You could employ marching band tactics to make crop circles.
1, 2, 3.
Mark and mark. Mark, 2, 3, 4. Left, 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 right, left, left. Yeah.
Now, what puzzles me is in some of these fields, like these wheat fields, the crop circles themselves are in between the spurs, mm-hmm. and essentially in between the lines where the crops don't grow, where the tractor goes.
Yeah.
So how are they getting out to this middle of the field without leaving a track through it?
Because they're following that mark out there.
Yeah, and I know, but then how do they cut across into the middle of it without leaving a trail? Well, that's what I can't
figure
out.
Well, the trail
out.
Would not be left by one or two people. What the trails... Not, you the, don't think the, so? The not trails even. Get left by...
In wheat, maybe,
and,
though.
And, like, by big groups of people walking through.
Because I could see in corn, because corn's, like, 3 feet apart. But in wheat, I mean, that's just... It's
who's
as far
not
apart
to say that
grass.
They don't start at one of those points?
Well, how do they get them? Because they're out in the middle of the field.
Well, because they have they do.
They have a long jump.
No, they do fall. They walk down the line.
Yeah.
And then when they get to where they're going to start, they start at the line because they all intersect the line at some point.
Not all of them.
Well, most.
That's
of
what
them.
He's talking about. The yeah. Ones that
no, I'm talking about the ones that don't intersect.
Those are the drunk wallabies.
Tram lines.
But I mean, I could see how you could, if you walk carefully, you could walk out and not disturb the crops too much. I think what they would be hoping for at that point, though, would be that when people come out to gawk at it, their lines get mistaken for the original lines. Or the original lines get mistaken for the gawker lines.
Yeah.
Or for the farmer coming out to look
so
at what's going on.
So you go think, even though, like, say it was in the middle of a field and the farmer's like, that doesn't look right just from a distance, but from a flat, you know, flat level where they're not looking down on it. Well, what's that? And they walk out there and then all of a sudden, well, the lot. Well, then there's, you know, yeah. So there's two different lines now. Well, which one was the farmer and which one were the people that did it?
Yeah.
And how can you yeah. prove it?
There's this really cool website, Crop Circle Connector. It has a lot of the international ones. It has pictures of them. It has flyovers of them. I mean, they have thousands of them cataloged there. Really mm-hmm. cool to look at.
What's amazing to me is how quickly after a crop circle is spotted to how quickly gawkers are there. And that's one thing the investigators complain about all the time is like a lot of times people have been to the crop circles before the investigators get there.
And they've trampled it.
Yeah. So they.
Well, that's the thing that always make for the ones that, you know, the gawkers get there first. Makes me think of like paparazzi who make things happen so they can take the pictures of it.
Yeah.
How many of these croppies are actually out there making these crop circles and then going, oh, it's aliens. I was here first. I saw it. And
now, I don't know.
That's a good point.
I don't know about farmers in England, but I know a lot of farmers in Oklahoma. You sell, like, if it's a big farm, it sells to corporations. So your cornfields are going to go to oil companies, or they're going to go to cereal companies or whatever. But these farmers also grow smaller crops like tomatoes and watermelons and stuff that they then sell at their farms or at roadside stands, things like that, to make other money, because there's not a lot of money in farming. So one of my thoughts was, what if the farmers are doing this in order to get people to come to their farm to buy their
issue
stuff?
Issue I'd have with that, I mean, that makes sense, but at the same time, is the money they're making is probably equal or less than the money they're destroying by.
But sometimes the crops still grow, and they are still usable and viable crops.
I would just think that would take lots of practice.
It would. It wouldn't and be just so like
they would lose a lot of money doing it. But no, I completely agree. Like I said, I think it's people most of the time.
I mean,
but
technically, nobody has more time on their hands than farmers, because they're just waiting for the stuff to grow.
Yeah.
But
that's why they usually run like a dairy farm along with like a cornfield, yeah, or
that's
something.
That's what I say. They usually have some other product that they are producing that they sell to locals or local farmers markets, things like that.
I mean, around this area, you have farmers who make, you know, corn mazes in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I mean, it would be kind of doing the same thing. And then they sell $5 a head to go through the maze. And
yeah. I don't know. I feel like I could see farmers doing it. Because like they say, well, farmers hate these because it brings gawkers to their fields, that destroy their fields and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, but it brings people to their fields for them to sell
things. And then why they're here, hey, look, I can buy some fresh grown tomatoes.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get some cabbage. Oh, look, some squash.
That they're all lemonade stand up in front. Like, hey, y'all getting thirsty out there looking at them fields? I got some freshly squeezed watermelon juice over here, you know?
Selling Dollar Tree binoculars.
They go on Wish and buy in bulk. And they
I don't. To answer your question, I don't know if the average English farmer is as big into capitalism as we are here in America.
That's why I said I don't know about farms in England. And I know here.
Oh, and here, yeah. I mean, people would jump on those opportunities.
Yeah. Like, oh, look, you're out there looking at my field. You guys need some sunglasses so you can keep that sun out of your eyes? How about some hats? Here's some hats. They say, Joe Bro's Farm. You need this? Yeah, Joe Bro's Farm hats right here.
What? Scratch eyes?
Bug spray. Got bug spray. $5 a can. $5 a can. Keep them.
Listen, we got pesticides.
Dogs. We got hot dogs.
Technically, if it's an American farm, they don't need bug spray.
Pesticides everywhere.
Yeah, our crops are to the point where if they're even touched by bugs, they just fall over dead.
Yeah.
That's what it is. American crop circles are actually just like, a fly is flying and lands on a crop and it starts to fall, so they jump to the next one and it just, you know, as the flies flying around and it's causing it to happen.
Really, we're just turning all these flies into mutants and their wing flap alone just like
Mothman.
And then it yeah. creates
a crop. Some Mothman was created. There's a moth that landed on a pesticided corn and then just became.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend going and hanging out in any farms.
One star would not recommend.
Ours is fine. Ours isn't really a farm. Ours is just a garden. We don't use pesticides.
Yeah.
But
I'm just saying you could get nerve agent poisoning?
Yeah.
If they just sprayed it. Because, I mean, that lingers around for days and days. Make you real sick.
But I see crop circles. Really, that's what it is. There aren't actually crop circles. It's just
because they really don't
hallucinations.
They don't really crop dust anymore. The farms we have now, they have the trolley wheels that go around. That's why all our fields are in circles.
That's also their watering, their irrigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what I'm saying is they also run pesticide through it, so they don't fly the crop dusters anymore.
Because what they found out is that the pesticides usually go past the field that they're hitting.
So we either have radioactive flies that are creating them now,
or hot hallucinating wallabies. Man, it's gonna be like a gamer tag or something. Hallucinating wallaby.
But what I really like about that crop circle connector site is that they're pretty good about, because they got like, here's some crop circles, but here's rumored crop circles, and that's where they have all the ones like, oh, the Dodge Company put a caravan, an image of a caravan in this field, or during the Olympics, they put a big crop circle by where the Olympics was in the shape of the rings and things. And it has those on there, which, I mean, those look cool and impressive because they're art. It also has a lot of pictures of the Japanese rice fields where they use different colored rice to make
amazing art.
Like those are really amazing awesome art.
Yeah.
I've made some art in my yard before.
That stuff always, like, that insane, like, crop circles, it just blows me away. Because, I mean, I understand, like, they're writing, you know, they do it on paper, and then they're just going by measurements and stuff like that. Not being able to see what the artwork looks like while doing it would drive me insane.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about the ones that have, like, the 3D view to them. Mm-hmm. Like that alien holding the disc you were talking about.
I know a lot of them have, like... the ones that are commercialized and stuff like that, they have, you know, someone flying above or something, a drone or something flying above, so they can see what it's looking like to make sure they do it right. But it's still, I just would irritate me as someone who likes to draw. It'd be like me blindfolding myself and just drawing this whole thing of art and then being done and it being geometrically perfect.
Well, see,
because nowadays you could just send a drone up and look at it with your smartphone and do it. But like the one Amy was talking about, that was in August of 2002 in Winchester in the fields of Crabwoods Farm. So, I mean, they could have been using a drone and a smartphone. Going,
but they had it drawn out with measurements like, okay, it's 10 feet here, 10 1/4 inches or feet here. And, you know, measurements broken down into, like, every section and just went through and did their lines how they wanted, needed it.
More what amazes me in general with them is it amazes me about artists in general is the fact that they're able to see these images in their head and get them onto paper.
Yeah, I can't do that.
And to be able to get them from your head to paper to a field, I feel like takes it an extra step further that just blows my mind.
Now, you were saying that it had binary code in it, but the one I'm thinking of, it didn't have binary code in it. It had ASCII code.
Are you talking about the crop circle that they found that they had imagery of humans?
There was one that they had. It was a disc. Like there was an image of an alien with a disc next to it that had some kind of code formatted into the disc.
Okay. The one I'm talking about is this happened... Seven a few years. Okay, I forgot what it's called, but there was a situation where we sent out a...
Okay, yeah, when we sent out the message of what our DNA is and what where our location is in the solar system and all of that. And then they came back and they gave us their DNA and basically said that they were Pleiadian.
Yeah.
And that they were very similar to us DNA-wise. And
I thought that was fake.
It is fake. Okay. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about how somebody pulled that off without... But just doing it on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a hoax. It's a real crop circle, but it's a hoax. It's man-made.
I just never seen art pretty of sweet. That level inside a medium like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's super but then impressive.
I mean, artists in general impress me. Like I said, because it's... Yeah. I am not good at getting things from my head to paper.
Yeah.
So it just...
As someone who draws, I still can't do it. But, no, the weirdest thing... Going back to you guys, remember how we sent the message out into space and then came back and we had, you know, those crop circles. Crop circles are what makes me think it's an inside job kind of thing. A lot of crop circles are talked about and then it happens. There was a couple that were talked about, like a certain Celtic symbol or something like that. Oh, like I wonder if they're going to make one like that. And then literally like the next day or a week later, that exact symbol would show up. Or the government talked about a certain geometric pattern that's like a mathematical equation almost in a geometric pattern. And I was talking about how, you know, it has to be aliens because it's done this way or whatever. And then like that night, that exact crop circle showed up.
I understand.
See, that goes into that collective subconscious.
I was about to say, that's just like what we were talking about, how we released our Area 51 episode. And then like the next day or like,
that
week or something that there was they started doing the raid Area 51.
Or well, we did our circus freak episode and literally the next week Netflix has five documentaries.
Or we talked about dolphins with laser beams, and then all of a sudden, last podcast starts talking about them. I mean, it's
with the Area 51 thing. Bob Lazar had that special come out on Netflix just a few days later, and he was actually interviewed by Joe Rogan, I believe, on his podcast.
I mean, it's one of those things that there's something out there that feeds it, and then certain people pick up on it. And I notice it a lot with our podcast, because there will be a topic that we will cover, and as soon as we cover it, now this will be before we even release it, all of a sudden it's just popping up everywhere. In other mediums.
The biggest one for me was when we did the Circus Freak episode, because we were like two or three episodes ahead. Literally, like I think it was like the Tuesday after we recorded, Netflix had four different documentaries about sideshows and circuses. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. Well, it was when I was sitting there, I don't even remember what episode it was that we talked about the dolphins in combat.
Yeah, and then it was and literally the next week.
The next week episode of Last Podcast Side Stories starts talking about weaponizing dolphins and like basically talked about the exact same scenarios that we had talked about. And I was like, we just did this.
Specifically, they were talking about the dolphins that Russia uses to disarm underwater mines.
Yeah.
And they talk about how they could weaponize them.
Yeah, which is exactly
we were talking about land and
we were talking about them like storming Normandy, you know, like
Oh, I remember.
So it was hilarious to me that
we came onto this random subject and then someone else did the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's like when you buy a car though.
Yeah. You know, you don't see this car anywhere, you buy it and then you see it everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I ran into that when I had my Eclipse. Bought that red Eclipse. I'd seen like two or three eclipses before that. Once I got that thing, I was seeing eclipses left and right. That's how I'd been
when I started looking at like doing like a Jeep Renegade or something like that. I've seen them everywhere since then.
My Explorer now, I see Explorers everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And I never noticed them before, but I mean, it's a Ford in Oklahoma. I mean, they're everywhere. It doesn't matter. Ford is like number one selling car here. But yeah, I mean, it's along those same things too, where it's maybe not even that the collective conscience or collective unconscious is bringing it up, but maybe it's the fact that we're kind of subconsciously looking for it.
The two thoughts are really one and the same, though.
Yeah. So we know some are man-made. We're 100% positive that some of them are man-made. Bigfoot created some.
Hallucinating wallabies created some. Radioactive flies made some.
Yes, and if you're going to watch, I would recommend watching some documentaries. There's some really cool documentaries out there. Now, if you have Amazon Prime, avoid the one that in the description says is the best documentary ever on crop circles.
They were misinformed.
Yes. They won all kinds of awards, supposedly, for being the best crop circle documentary.
But wasn't it made in like 92 or something?
Yeah.
Probably at the time.
It was cool. It was a bunch of pictures of crop circles, but there was very little words. It was pretty much just a video with like elevator music of
so like aerial, a YouTube documentary, like homemade documentary almost.
Of like aerial footage of crop circles.
Which is pretty much how like PBS documentaries were in the 80s and 90s.
It's like a paper.
It'd be like what you'd be watching in class when the teacher's gone.
It's
and
like
the
a
sub
PowerPoint.
Pops
yeah, it's like a PowerPoint slide. Just
But so radioactive spiders. No, not spiders. Radioactive flies. Bigfoot.
High wallabies.
Humans.
The deities.
God
doodling.
The earth itself trying to communicate with us.
The earth getting fades.
Aliens.
And I mean, all kinds of weather phenomena. Lightning. I mean, we never really said anything like, I kind of hinted at it with man-made aircraft like helicopters. Because helicopters swirl and then they cause the grass underneath them to swirl.
Yeah. You know, it'd be really cool. As if tomorrow we walk out in the backyard and we got a crop circle.
Your grass is almost tall enough.
It's tall enough, too.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's pretty tall.
Because I was like, I'm going to get out and mow tomorrow. But it'd be really nice if an alien just came and made a cool design in the backyard and just flattened it all out for me. Or we can get some drunk wallabies. whatevs.
High wallabies.
Like, I want drunk ones. The drunk ones will just pass out.
It was drunk hippies.
Listen, that caused, grab a goat, feed him something, tell him to go out there and do his job.
Or some plasma vortex.
I like that better.
What if it's astral projection? And people are astrologically projecting into these fields and having astral parties with the astral hobos in the middle of the field, and it's knocking it down.
That's a bunch of ass.
What if it's just astral hobos in general? That's just their camp.
Yeah, I said something along the effect of elementals.
Yeah.
I mean, so if there's one thing true about all kinds of mythology that has to do with djinns or elementals or fairies is that they like to go into fields, make circles, and party in them, and drink and play music. And
then fuck with humans.
Have y'all seen any of the... This is kind of off topic, but have y'all seen any of the crop circles that happen in forests? Look that up. Those are some really cool pictures. Where they happen in forest canopies.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
I don't know. Okay. That'd be a whole other episode right there.
That one is not stoned wallabies.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like...
No.
I wasn't really looking at stuff about... Because, I mean, like I said, there's some that happen in sand, some that happen in trees, some... I was mostly focusing on the crops.
That one's birds that got into some LSD.
Because then I figured we could do another episode later on tree circles.
Tree circles, crop circles, sand circles.
We already did crop circles. But yeah, sand circles.
Mud circles.
In Holland, grass circles are really popular.
So I think we've covered quite a few different, lot completely 100% logical theories on where crop circles come from.
All our research is 100% scientifically found.
We approve it. Not that that makes any difference whatsoever.
And by scientists, I mean us.
Yeah, and this, like I said, we said in the beginning was a listener episode, our listener request episode. This actually came from the artist that does all the baby cryptids, and she does serial killers and true crime and animal portraits. She does a lot of amazing artwork, Shayla V. So take a minute, check out Shayla V Gallery on Instagram and Facebook and her website. Check out some of her amazing artwork. I've got it sitting on my wall in front of me, actually. I'm looking at it right now.
We should put a link her gallery to our on our website.
I actually want to add a link page to our website.
Very cool.
Yeah. Thank you, Shayla V. This was actually a really interesting topic to dig into.
Be sure to check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We still need some more Twitter followers. We're up to 13.
Ooh.
We've grown one follower in like 20 episodes.
Nice.
Our email is umpnormalcy@gmail.com. Our website is umpnormalcy.com. We have a Patreon page if you want to help us out with production. At patreon.com/UNPNormalcy.
There's nothing worse than getting a song stuck in your head.
Shut up.
Stop it now.
No.
Pull the plug.
Until next time.
Keep digging.